We're going to be turning to the book of Romans chapter 14, verse 19 is where we're going to start. We are continuing our series of messages on the mission statement, Lindsay Lane Baptist Church mission statement, knowing, living, and sharing Christ. Today we're going to be covering the topic living, what it entails. We used the topic knowing in two segments because I wanted to thoroughly cover all that we were approaching in the importance of God's giving us the understanding of who He is and the guidance of that. We don't just create God. We don't make Him up within all that we know or think we know, that He actually, being the perfect and holy and righteous eternal one, must reveal Himself to us. And then the second part we wanted to dig into is that, do you know Him? And folks, this is of the greatest importance. Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Much of what we had saying about this morning, as I was thinking and looking at the words, we're seeing words of surrender, allegiance. We're looking at words of, I'm living for Him. I've given myself to Him. And all of these things we see as we have heard in the Christian faith. But does it really make sense in the Christian faith if you don't know Him? That is the key. That's the very foundation of that. We serve the Lord Jesus because we know Him. We know we can trust Him. We know that He is worthy. We know that He truly loves us. As Brother Mike had shared of a boss that he had as was concerned and caring for his employees, that they would give anything. Power of love is so overriding the law and all these other things and in other emotion, because you know, when we really get to the very bottom of it, love in and of itself is not emotion. It may evoke emotion, but love is a chosen decision that we make to love. And that's a problem that Hollywood and even our society, we've distorted so terribly the word love, especially based upon a biblical worldview. Love doesn't just happen in a vacuum. It doesn't just come out of nowhere and all of a sudden it happens. But yet love is a choice that we make. It's a decision that we make. And when we choose to know the Lord Jesus, He's already loved us. We're not the ones that instigate it. We're not the ones that started it. But we simply respond to a love that has already been given to us, that has already been offered to us. And we see that on the cross of Calvary. And so in order for us to be able to move forward with a clarity, as a church member, as a believer, as a servant, whatever the calling is upon your life, you must know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And so that brings us to today. We can't live until we've been born. Amen? And so we must know the Lord Jesus so that we might live in Him, and through Him, and for Him. Romans 11, very last verse. I forget which verse it is. But we are for Him, we live for Him, to Him, and through Him. I get so excited when I see that verse every time because it encapsulates so well the Christian faith. It's all for Him, to Him, and because of Him that we have the reason and the power to live. So do you have the insert that was in your bulletin? Let me see it. Do you have it? All right, you got it. Well, as you can tell, I had way too many notes to fit it in the bulletin, okay? I know, that's a shock to you all. I just don't know when to quit. There's so much good stuff, and we just keep piling it together, and it just keeps getting better and better, and I'm like, I don't know what to leave out. I don't want to leave anything out. So we got a lot of notes, but we're going to get through it quickly here, and hopefully not too fast that you're able to go back. And then you can look over this. Because I want you to know, this is our mission statement, and we share these things. Now, I want to remind you, the paragraph that's at the very top that describes living, I wanted to go into a more in-depth of what does it mean that I mean by living? What is that we're talking about? And so this is what I'm trying to communicate to you as a church, but then you as a church communicates this back to people that are coming from the community, people that you're meeting. And so when someone asks you about, well, how would you describe Lindsay Lane? Well, the number one thing that I think is one of the best parts of Lindsay Lane is that we're a very loving, very welcoming, a very open church. And we You know, we come together, we laugh. I was sitting in my office today and was totally distracted by all of you laughing in the hallway. And it's like, that's great. You know, we come together, we enjoy being together. I hate to say it, but there's some churches that don't enjoy being together. But you know, we all have to grow. We all have to learn. We all have to learn to love. But we've been blessed, haven't we? We've been blessed with the fellowship that we have, the joy that we bring to each other. Now, sometimes you may be thinking, well, I'm just faking it. You're doing a great job, but I want you to really enjoy being with us and being with each other. You know, when we come together, we want to be able to communicate more further and more deeply of that. Lindsay Lane is great because we know a great God. Let me share of how weak I am, but let me tell you how great He really is. I want to tell you about who it is that we serve, but more than that, that He allows me to enjoy life. Even when things are falling apart around me, somehow He picks me up and we get from day to day. We live because of Him and the excitement that comes with that. So how do I communicate this? Now, you know, obviously, pastors, we get wordy. Sometimes we take one sentence and I turn it into four paragraphs because there's so much of how do we encapsulate all this. So that's why I give you a paragraph and say, this is where I'm coming from. But more than that, I want you to see the verses that we're sharing and say, Lord, how does this apply to me so that I might live and know and share what's going on and what you're doing in my life? And so when people begin to ask about Lindsay Lane, I want us to share more than just, oh, we're such a loving church. Because the chances are they may not come to experience that love. But what you can do is share Christ, and they experience Him that day. You see where I'm coming from? So reading that top paragraph, it says, living. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. That's Romans 14, verse 19, where we're starting. And it goes on to say the Bible calls on Christians to be actively engaged in growing and maturing. Sanctification is a progressive outworking of the grace that is in every believer and is a lifelong endeavor. Living the Christian life is made possible through the Word, the Spirit of God, and as believers kindly care for one another. Every aspect of the Christian's life is to be done to the glory of God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. As we look in that first verse, one of the first points that it brings out is edification. What exactly is edification? You look at point one on your outline there. It says the ministry of edification. Edification simply is the act of building to build up, the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, holiness. So there's a lot behind that word. But God has designed the Christian life to be lived out in community with other believers. One of the unexpected, I think, symptoms of the digital age that we live in today is being surrounded by millions of people but being completely alone and cut off. It's amazing how so many people have hundreds and hundreds, and I'm dating myself, I know, Maddie, on Facebook, which is, I was told, is just, that's old stuff, but here I am. But we can have many on our Twitter accounts or whatever else that we, Snapchat, is that another new one? Okay, I have to be advised by my younger brothers and sisters in Christ. We can have millions of them, and we say we know them, but as we explored last week, do we really know them? No. They're just acquaintances. There might be occasional communication, but not really knowing. Folks, we cannot conduct worship. We cannot live the Christian faith through a digital means only. Now I want you to know something. There's exciting things. There's many of you that you'll just text me through the week, Pastor, I'm praying for you. The most exciting thing that I get, the most encouraging, and sometimes they come at just the right time. God times that. God lays that in just the right place in the right time in just the right way. Now some of you, I'm not as good at getting on Facebook and keeping up, but I see them. I recognize them. And so those things, we're not going to stand up here and say that is not effective, because in this day and age, in the younger generation, it is very effective. But yet we have to understand is that when we come together as a church, it has to happen physically. And you know, there's even some churches that have a drive-thru. You can even take communion in the drive-thru window. I'm serious. I'm not joking. They do. Now, you know, we think that all we want convenience. We think if we make it convenient for people, but folks, there are no shortcuts to living for Christ. Amen. Glory be to God that He didn't take shortcuts to divert around the cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord that He didn't take shortcuts and divert around the Garden of Gethsemane, where He knelt asking the Father three times if there's any other way man might be saved. And the answer was, no, you're the only one. As He sweat great drops of blood, the stresses that were upon Him, the physical body was breaking down because of the stress that the eternal God knew what He had to do for all of mankind. And all that He would face in the most grueling death known to man, and yet He went anyway. No shortcuts. That's why we have salvation. That's why we have life. But as Jesus says, I give life, give them life more abundantly. That means more than you can handle. Man, open it up, Lord, fill me up and let it fly, right? Give me it all. But yet we cannot say, God, give me it all, and then say, I don't know. I'm not sure if I want to do that. Amen? If we want it all, we have to give it all and let Him have it all and let Him be it all. I don't know if that was real good grammar, was it? He has to be all in order to be the Lord of all. And so when we look at these, a ministry of edification, is that we're looking to come and to be and to worship and to live the Christian life in community with other believers. Now, I cannot believe the excuses that I hear over and over, that people don't go to church because I was hurt. You know, let me ask you something. Did anybody ever at home hurt your feelings? You know, I have a younger sister. She's 7 years younger than me. And I thought at the beginning it would be great to have a little sister. Man, I was wrong. She drove me nuts. But you know what? I drove her nuts too. And I was really good at it. And I knew where her button was, and she knew where my button was, and we would just, I'm 50 years old and I still irritate her. In fact, we even had to kind of make some ground rules that we're not gonna cross these boundaries. We get out of hand. Why? Because we're brother and sister, that's why. But you know what? I go back to her and I love her more than I ever did. And I shake my head at the stupid stuff that I did. But you know what? I went home anyway. How odd it is that we say, well, I got hurt by someone, so I'm not going to praise and glorify God in the way that He's designed. He is more deserving of that. He is more deserving. Can you imagine how many times was He insulted and ridiculed and spit on and all of these things on the day that He hung on the cross? He revealed to us that He could have called legions of angels to come to His aid, take Him off the cross, and wipe us all out and be done with it. But yet He stayed faithful. Amen? He remained faithful and followed what the Father had designed for Him to do. And so, folks, for us to come together and to get along together and to serve together, I know it may not be easy, but it is necessary. But more than that, it's glorious. When you do the time, you pay the price, and you love each other unconditionally, that we are able to be brought together by God's plan, and we begin to build each other up. You know, discipleship is of such great importance that we pour into the lives of those that are younger than us, that we pour our experiences of serving and faithfulness to the Lord and giving those warnings of not serving the Lord, that it may encourage and bolster those that are younger. I know we may not fully understand all that they face and all that they endure, but yet our need to be together in community is of great importance, and may we not be pulled apart from that. Today is the most important thing that you will do this week. Not listening to me, but glorifying the God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're not living for our own pleasure, our own inclinations, for we belong to God. In Romans chapter 14, 7 through 9, he says, "For none of us lives to himself." Now think about it, is that true? For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, you see his process of thought? For to this end, for this purpose, Christ died and he rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. You see what's going on here? First of all, he says, look, I'm the Lord of all. Not just when you're dead, but when you're living. So often people, we think, well, I accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven, so I'm good. I'm secure. But God says, wait a minute. If he has the power to deliver you from the consequences of sin, how much greater do you think the power is that he's allowing you to live in the riches of his righteousness today? Right? That's an even greater miracle, the fact that we were enemies of the cross and living for ourselves, doing what we want, destroying everything that we had, and yet God says, you know what? I can turn it all around, and I can make you productive. I can make you worthwhile. I can make you worthy in the Father's eyes. How? I've made such a mess. Yes, you are, but Jesus made all the difference. Amen? And so that we are living not for our own pleasure, our own inclinations, but yet it is not only the motivation of our lives, but yet the direction of our lives is to live for and through Christ. Your second point there says, we're all at different levels of spiritual growth in life's journey. This is something that I try, that when we have visitors that come and I'll send a letter to them, usually trying to email a letter to them. I try to point out to them that wherever you are in your spiritual life and your walk with the Lord, we want you to be a part of where we're going today. We are all at different levels. We're all growing at different paces. But you know, isn't that a wonderful thing that it brings variety? It brings levels of seeing them growing from a spiritual youth into maturity. If we're not seeing that, church, then we are dying. That's the reality. If we're not pouring into these youth. And folks, I want you to look around and just take a notice of many of the elders that we have here today. That as they continue to age and things become more and more difficult, they still come on our youth nights and our youth activities and pouring everything that they can, not always as much as they want, but they continue to pour into those youth. And those of us that are aging well and are able to get around and have the energy, we need to be doing the same thing. Because if we're not discipling, displaying God's example before them, pouring into them, giving them opportunity to serve. You know, sometimes I look back at the reality that I grew up in Moselle Missionary Baptist Church. And you know what? I've even complained in the past that when I was 16 years old, they asked me to teach the adult class. What? What? Oh. I had no idea the Lord was preparing me for this. I didn't want to do it. I thought nobody else wanted to do it, and they're to throw me in. But they were watching as the Lord was investing, and as they were investing, they knew I needed to take another step. For crying out loud, my deacon that I grew up with was in that class. He forgot more than I knew, but he helped me study for the class. And I tell you, that was probably one of the most enjoyable, mind-blowing times that I spent with Brother Bud Jones. And as he sat down and began to open the Word, he had the big mechanic hands. I mean, they were big. He could palm my head and pick me up. But when he opened that Bible, it was wore out. It was falling apart. You know why? Because he knew it. and to be able to learn with him and to listen to the life experiences that he had with the Lord and the faithfulness of the Lord was amazing. Are you pouring into those that are younger? Those of you that are younger, are you pouring into the older? There are some that are at home, they're lonely, they're struggling with their health. They can't get out and do. Have you ever thought of just going and seeing them and encouraging them? Have you ever thought of just spending a few moments to see on a Sunday morning how they're doing? Taking that moment to talk with them because they haven't had anybody to talk with them or really to fellowship all week? As we grow in different levels of our walk in the Lord, I want us to look at two thoughts that sometimes we get them mixed up of what they are, but yet they're closely combined together. Justification and sanctification. Now, I put in your notes there, justification is the legal declaration of God in which he pardons the sinner of all his sins and accepts and accounts the sinner as righteous in his sight. So, when we're looking at this, as God declares the sinner righteous at the very moment of salvation, at the moment that he places his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and because of this reality, is why we teach, we believe, and we trust in the security of the believer. The security of the believer simply rests upon the fact that the Lord Jesus has paid that sin debt and has offered that gift of eternal life. And upon trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are laying your sin at His feet, confessing that sin to Him, and as a guilty sinner, you come to the only one who was perfect and holy, and that His death was enough to take care of all of that sin, not only legally, but eternally. And so then we become His possession. We become His child. And that will never change. Why? Because we are in His hands. We now belong to Him. And that will never be taken out of His hands. We'll never be ripped from Him. Nothing can separate us from God in that. So then, justification mean that I can do whatever I want and I'm still going to heaven? The Scripture says no. We don't take advantage of grace. We don't abuse that grace. But we live in that grace. We surrender to that grace. We're transformed by that grace. So as a child of God, you will not dwell in that sin. You will not stay in that sin. But the Spirit of God is going to convict you and drive you and push you to get close to the Lord once again. And I think we had mentioned that and talked about that last week, so I won't stay too long. But I want us to look at the scripture verse in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. He says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." As we look at that scripture verse, he says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh." He is describing the reality that man is a sinner. Man is a sinner. People sometimes ask me, "Well, Pastor, what is it that I need to do that I can't enter into heaven?" You've already done it. You've already done it. According to James, he says, if we offend the law in one point, then we're guilty of all of it. Why? Because God requires perfection. "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Guess what? We can't. But what the law does is it drives us to the realization that we need a Savior. It drives us to the cross. Well, guess what? When we get to the cross, Jesus has taken care of all the business. He's taken care of all of our sin so that when we get there, the solution is available. The uncircumcision of your flesh is simply that our heart does not respond to God because we don't know God in our sinful and lost condition. But when He takes away that flesh, in the moment of salvation, we're now sensitive to the conviction of the Spirit of God. So not only has He changed us in heart, in reception of His Word and His guiding, but He's also made us alive. So now He's given us life, but then He's also given us freedom from that sin. Now, sometimes people talk about, well, does He just kind of hide my sin under a rug somewhere? No. And Isaiah says that he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus became that sin bearer. Not only was he the sin bearer, but he was the sin taker. He was the consequences of our sin and the punishment of our sin taker. He took all of that upon himself. It didn't just get, well, okay, I'm just going to ignore that. No, he paid for that in such a way that it was to the satisfying of God's wrath. Do you realize that when he hung upon the cross, the Romans didn't just crucify him, but God poured out his wrath upon his own son. The wrath that was for you and I to take for all eternity. But he poured that out on his son, his perfect son. And because of that, the handwriting that was against us is the law that had been written by God's own hand declaring us guilty. We all stood with a death sentence over our heads. But yet by Jesus going to the cross, he took that condemnation, he nailed it to the cross, and he took it himself. And the end result is he paid for our sins. So the justification is that we now can stand before God the Father as holy and righteous. Sanctification, while justification is a one-time experience of coming into the salvation of the Lord, coming into the family of God, being saved by the Lord Jesus, is a one-time thing. Sanctification is an ongoing thing in the Christian walk. Sanctification, you have it there in your notes, is a progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. Now, I don't want you to think that when I interjected that it's a progressive work of God and man, that we are the ones that are guiding all of this. Because really, God is the working power. He is the one that makes it possible. He is the one that infuses us with that ability. We simply surrender to the plan that is already has been established and is in motion. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. We're gonna take some parts of this. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. That's us, believers. Those who have died to sin have been made free from sin. Now verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Do you see the process of sanctification? Is we're saying no to the flesh, no to sin, and saying yes to Christ. But we're doing that on a daily basis. We're doing that one decision after another. We're doing that from one temptation to another. We're doing that over and over and over. And there are times that we will fall and we will fail, and we don't say no to sin, but we say yes to sin. And we have to come back and find that cleansing once again. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we come back and we do it again. We say yes, Lord, once again. So here's a comparison. I just kind of wanted to show you very quickly the comparison of the two. Justification is a legal standing. The condemnation of sin has been set aside because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And it's once and for all. Once and for all time, entirely based upon God's work, and God's work alone is salvation that is given to us. Perfect in this life, and the same in all Christians. As a believer, we all stand forgiven. Sanctification, it is an internal condition meaning that based upon how that we are surrendering to God and we're faithfully following, internal it is, but then continuous throughout life. We are cooperating with the Spirit of God. We are following what He has given us, what He is pointing out to us in His Word. Now, we're not perfect in this life, but someday, one day we will be, amen? And it is greater in some than others. Sanctification, what does it look like in a believer today? As we've seen there in the scriptures that we just read, it begins at salvation. There's a moral change in the individual. There is a change in habits. There's a change in conviction. There's also an increase throughout life that we continue to grow. And that's something that I think that each year that I revisit these, I want us to look back on the years before. Can we truly say that, God, I'm growing closer to You this year than I was last year? Can we say that, God, I've made progress in this year in faithfulness and learning and growing and understanding of who You are and understanding who You've made me to be? Sanctification also involves the increasing likeness of being more like Christ in all that we say and do. It is a working out of our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I find over and over believers are trying to get back and get faithful to the Lord and get those responsibilities and commitments restored again. And they say, you know, how is it that you can get me excited about serving God? Do you realize that it is God working in us that motivates us to worship? It motivates us to faithfulness. If you're not spending time with Him, if you're not spending time in His Word, don't expect there to be some miraculous boost of energy to make it happen. The very same way in our physical lives. If we don't take care of ourselves, if we don't eat healthy, we don't get enough sleep, and we don't do the necessary steps of taking care of ourselves, don't be surprised when you're sitting on the couch eating potato chips and you can't find a motivation to do anything. Oh, you got quiet on me. What happened? I'm not talking at you. That's me too. That's why each year I start out the new year. Okay, Lord, I'm going to do better. And sometimes it goes a little longer each year, it seems like, because it's getting more serious. We need to take that urgency into our spiritual lives. Amen? The motivation comes from God, not you and I. You're not going to finally fix your attitude. Only God can do that. Amen? You've got to confess that sin. You've got to confess that failure. Come to Him and let Him change your heart and your mind. Let Him open your eyes to the realities of what He has for you. And it never is going to seem the way that I would do. But yet He stretches us to places that we're afraid to go, that we might exercise faith in Him. I'm going to jump down to the third point here. May all of our words and actions bring honor to Christ. That last verse that we read was a key to that, but I want to add just a few verses to that. In Colossians 3, verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, He's talking to you again, believers, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now, I have to admit to you, sometimes I sit down and say, God, I don't feel holy. Do you? But because of Christ, we can come before the Father as holy because He shed His blood. Isn't He an awesome, loving God? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Do you see that? Forgiveness is not an option, is it? It's not a suggestion. God done it for you. The least you can do is do it for someone else. Amen? But above all, these things put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, meaning the church, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Folks, our lives have been designed for the purpose of bringing glory to the name of God. Amen? You realize that when Lord Jesus comes into heaven and He brings all the believers with Him, that we are the fruit that brings glory to His name. My friend, you are of great value. You are of great value. Your life matters. Your life that you live in faithfulness to the Lord not only matters to you, but it matters to your children. It matters to your grandchildren. It matters to your church. It matters to your church family. Your life as a believer matters to the community. Whether they acknowledge it or not, you are of value because the Lord Jesus is living in you and producing in you the fruit that only He can bring, the joy that only He can provide, the strength that only He can bring to a life that is tired and weakening. In our doctrinal statement, this is from our doctrinal statement. You can find it in print form. You need to see me or Sister Amy for that, or you can go online on our church website. Brother Kurt has all of that listed, our statement of faith, but under the heading of sanctification, all believers are set apart unto God at the time of their regeneration. They should grow in grace by allowing the Holy Spirit to apply God's Word to their lives, conforming them to the principles of divine righteousness, and making them partakers of the holiness of God. I want to ask you a few questions today. I give you all of these verses. I want to remind you, with all of these scriptures, I expect you to go home and check them out, okay? I expect you to go home and read these verses of how is this applying to my life today. The application I can present, but the application can only happen when you do it. Am I being too frank? I grew up in church. I know how to play the game. But please, let's not make God's worship and living for Christ a game. Amen? Let's make it real. Can you remember the time and place that you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Can you remember the change of your heart, your mind, and your desires that God brought within your life, that you walked away from sin and you separated yourself for the use of God once and for all? I want to ask you, how does sanctification and the understanding of it, how does it help you today in your walk with the Lord? Has it reminded us of what we should be doing? Or has it reminded us of all that we yet to experience and enjoy in Him? Are you becoming more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading? Or have you been suppressing and ignoring and putting Him off? Can you see the importance of living out your faith for the sake of those who are around you, those who depend upon you, and those who are relying on you today? We're going to sing a verse of invitation. It's a very simple one. But I ask that when you sing this song, that we do so from the heart. Don't say it with your mouth, but say it with your mouth and your heart. Are you truly willing to be a sanctuary for the Lord today?